on this episode of The Right Stuff, Scriptures for Writers. Stay tuned.
You are listening to the best, the only place to be on Tuesday night. That's right. You're listening to The Right Stuff, and you're at the right place at the right time. From England to Canada, from Detroit to the Coconuts, we are showcasing Christian authors worldwide, giving you tips, tools, techniques, and resources for you, the writer, to hone and perfect your craft. Tune in every Tuesday at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, right here on WPJC 104.5. And your host, Parker J. Cole.
Hi, and welcome to the show. You are at the right place at the right time. I am Parker J, the Queen of Tuesday Nights, and I am so glad you are here with me today. We have an awesome show in store for you today. We're going to be talking about Scriptures for Writers, but we're going to get to that in just a few moments. Of course, I want to thank you all for your support of my books, Many Strange Women, The Other Man, Vengeful Vows, The Cure, all my other books that I have. I want to let you know about the fact that I will be at the Southern Christian California's Writers Conference. It's going to be in Southern California at Biola University from June 22nd through the 24th. I will be teaching two workshops at that conference. The first workshop will be Taboo Christian Fiction, and the second workshop is Harsh Language and Swearing in Christian Fiction. We'll be talking about that at the conference, so I definitely want you to go ahead and register for that conference by simply Googling Southern California Christian Writers Conference. You will not be disappointed. There's going to be a lot of workshops there, a lot of opportunities for you to pitch your writing material to agents and editors and stuff like that. So if you want to go to the Southern California Christian Writers Conference, you can go by simply Googling Southern Christian Writers Conference, and you will not be disappointed. For this episode of the show, this is actually pre-recorded, so we won't be taking any live calls today, but you can always listen in by calling in at 646-668-8485. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Question: if you write a book, everybody will rush out to buy it. Obvious answer: no. If you were a celebrity or if you had a huge marketing budget, then maybe you can get a lot of exposure for your book. Another solution would be to check out JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com is a promotion and marketing service with access to over 1/3 of a million followers on Twitter. JoeyTweets.com has three packages available to fit any budget. That's JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com. Get some serious exposure for your books.
Have you read the latest issue of SOARMAG Digital, the award-winning literary magazine for multicultural readers and writers? SOARMAG Digital is available quarterly and showcases interviews with the best authors in multicultural literature. SOARMAG Digital features craft and business articles for those interested in writing. If you're looking for a good book, check out our book reviews on what's hot in multicultural literature. For writers looking for new readers to get in front of, SOARMAG Digital is the perfect place to introduce your book. We offer advertising spaces that fit your promotional budget. Get your free subscription on SOARMAG.com or order a print issue on MagCloud.com. If you would like more information about SOARMAG Digital, check us out on SOARMAG.com or contact us at SOARMAG@Yahoo.com. SOARMAG Digital is the magazine for multicultural readers and writers.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. Again, so glad you are here with me today. We are talking about Scriptures for Writers. And I know as writers, we are always writing. We're in the words. Words are very powerful for us. We use words to create images, to create distant worlds, to create poignant relationships, to instill fear, to instill awe, or just have a person ponder as they're reading our work. But one thing about the word is that the word is very important to the Lord, that he took his scriptures and he put it into the Bible. And we use the Bible as our repository for everything that we need to grow closer to Christ in our Christian walk. But writers, because we're so into words, we forget that we need to be fed by words as well. And so today on the show, we're going to be talking about Scriptures for Writers. And I think it's a brilliant a brilliant topic that we need to discuss, because we have to know that if we're going to be Christian writers who write to tell the good news about God, to talk about forgiveness, to talk about redemption, we should also be filled with those words as well. With me to talk about that topic today is my wonderful guest, co-host and contributor today, Shoshana Gabriel. Shoshana, how are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you very much for having me.
And let me tell you, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with me today. I'd never take it lightly. So thank you for being here with me.
Thank you.
What I wanted to do is give people an opportunity to know who you are in your own words. Some of you may not have heard of you, and I want people to know who you are. So go ahead and tell us in your own words who you are.
Well, people who might not know me as Shoshana Gabriel may know me as Shoshana Evers. I wrote a lot of books as Shoshana Evers, but they were secular, very sexy, steamy romance novels. And at the very end of 2015, I had already been a Christian for about a year. And, I mean, I guess more like 2 years. I had been baptized earlier that year. And I made the decision that I was really ready to just sort of change direction completely with what I was writing. And I chose to take the name Shoshana Gabriel, and I'm going to be writing inspirational romance instead of my secular romance as Shoshana Evers. So I've stopped promoting those books. The ones that I have been able to not have available for sale are no longer available. Most of them are, however, up still because they're either traditionally published or they are attached to a narrator for the audiobook. So I still have those books out there, but I am working on my first inspirational romance right now, and it should be out this summer.
I'm looking forward to it, Shoshana. I remember when you came on our show before, when I heard about your story, a good friend of mine named Allie, she was just so moved by your story because she used to write erotica romances herself, and then the Lord spoke to her heart, and she wanted to start writing inspirational romances. And so when she shared your story with me, I just knew I had to invite you onto my show. And you telling your story and letting us know about how it all began for you, where the doubts began or where the questions began, rather, and just everything, it was just such an inspirational story for where the Lord took you to where you are now. I remember one thing you said during that interview that still stays with me. You said, "I am not even worried about it." And that was just something for you to say. You said, you know, you couldn't mm-hmm. do the conference at the Romance Writers of America because you had changed your genre. The contract mm-hmm. you had to go. Your agent wouldn't support you anymore. Not support you, but wouldn't represent you because you don't write what she represents.
Right.
All these things that happened, like a cascade and a domino effect. All these things that happened.
I lost a 6-book deal.
Yeah. I mean, everything had happened.
But
and you know what you
I was
said.
About to sign. There was a lot going on that just had to change. And I know that it's all part of God's plan. I had to basically take 2016 off of writing anyway because
mm-hmm.
we had twins. So
right.
it all works out, you know, for the best.
And I will never forget it. You said, "I'm not worried." And I remember that verse in the Bible that says, you know, don't worry for anything. Don't be careful for nothing, but in everything in prayer, supplication, make your request known unto the Lord. And then he also says, don't worry. You can't add an inch to your life at all by worrying. And that's what you say. You say, "I am not worried at all." I remember during that time we were talking about that transition you were making from the secular world into the NSP world. I remember how you said how the inspirational world embraced you and how they reached out to you and wanted to help you in that career path change, you know. And with you coming up with your inspirational romance come this summer, I was wanting to see how has that community been for you as you made that transition?
It's been so supportive. And, you know, I also feel that the erotic romance community is very supportive as well. But when I had this idea in my head, I think that non-Christians sometimes tend to view Christians a certain way. And at least for me, I kind of thought, they're going to take one look at who I am and they're going to think that I'm not worthy to write the sort of book that they're writing and
mm-hmm.
that I'm not supposed to be doing what they're doing. And I was
mm-hmm.
very concerned that, I wouldn't even say I was very concerned. I just kind of assumed that the Christian writing community would be like, oh, Shoshana Evers wants to start writing inspirational? No thanks. You know, okay, that's
mm-hmm.
cool, whatever. But instead, as soon as I came out as a Christian, I wrote my blog post about saying goodbye to erotic romance. I guess it had gotten passed along on the Christian writing loops, ACFW and the Faith, Hope, and Love chapter of RWA. And so I have a whole bunch of authors coming to my blog post and just commenting and saying, hey, welcome, and we're happy that you're doing this, and, you know, you should join this group, and you should join that group, and we have a conference in the summer. And, you know, it was really nice to hear. And when I did go to RWA conference in 2015, the one that I was supposed to be speaking on several, I was supposed to be the, what was that for RT? I think for RT, I was supposed to be the chairperson of the erotica panel.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't obviously continue in that job. They actually called me the day after my blog post came out and, you know, suggested nicely that I step down, which I did.
Mm-hmm.
And but I still was planning on attending. And so I attended and I went and sat in on all of the Christian workshops and got to meet people in person and put faces to names, and it was really, really wonderful. It really was.
I'm so glad to hear that, because when people, it's like when someone first gets saved even, you need support. You need the community
mm-hmm.
of believers. And the same way you got that community of believers to help you connect with you, network with you, stuff like that. And then, you know, I'm just happy to give my show a platform for you, you know, because I'm just glad to say, hey, you know, this is what you want to do, and I'm glad to help you any way I can, you know. And so I really was so moved and inspired
that.
By your story. And it's just the honest to goodness truth. And one thing, you know, when we were talking about this particular show, you say, you know, what about scriptures for writers? And I was so intrigued by that. So what I wanted to know is, what gave you the idea for this particular show? How did this all come about?
Well, I always feel that whenever I open up the Bible, that there's always something, and it's always something different that speaks to me. And some people, they have the gift of just hearing God's voice very clearly in their head, and, you know, they pray and they know what God is saying to them when they pray. I'm the sort of person that I can pray, I can feel what the Holy Spirit is kind of moving me toward, but in order to actual words, I have to go to the word. I have to open the Bible and see what God wants me to see. And something always stands out that seems as if it is 100% exactly what I needed to hear in that moment. And so I've been collecting some of those, and so that especially when it pertains to writing, if I'm praying about what am I, you know, what I'm going to write or what should I be doing, I've come across scriptures that I find are good just for writers in general, or maybe even for anybody who is doing something that requires God's help, which is probably everything.
Yes, I'm pretty sure. And
yeah.
I'm pretty sure. And one thing that I like too is that God loves words, because he put his word in words so we can understand it. And over the
mm-hmm.
years, it's been translated and all that stuff. And God obviously loves the written word. And I think that's something that's very interesting, because even I believe it was David, he said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. And so these words,
mm-hmm.
even though they're on printed paper, we're supposed to take these words and put them inside of ourselves. And that reflects the creative ability that God gives all writers, that creative ability to create things. You know, and what I mean by that, I'm not talking anything mystical or anything like that. Just like when you read a book and you're transported out.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, I interviewed some kids for and here in Michigan, it's the Michigan Reading Association. I interviewed some young authors, and one of the young ladies said, when you read a book, you can live a second life without ever leaving your room. And that's exactly what she said.
Mm-hmm.
And so that ability to write and to use those words is reflexive of God's power of how he used his words to create things. And, again, I'm not talking mystical. I'm just talking just how
he like
uses the word to do that.
Satan. You know,
mm-hmm.
Jesus had hidden God's word in his heart. He had the whole Old Testament memorized.
Mm-hmm.
And he obviously more than just memorized, he was Jesus, so he knew it inside and out. And
mm-hmm.
when, every time that Satan attempted to tempt him, Jesus was able to rebut him with Scripture. Each time he was able to rebut him with Scripture. And that is what defeated Satan. And
mm-hmm.
I think that the reason that God shows us the story of Jesus in the desert with Satan tempting him is so that we can see, you know what? I could do that. I could memorize Scripture that's going to help me in when I'm being tempted, when I'm having a hard time. And if I can hold on to that, if I hide it in my heart, like Daniel said, I can then pull it out right when I need it.
Amen. I like that. It's a weapon. You know, it's not just words.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes a weapon. So we understand just how powerful they are. Yes, we understand just how powerful words are, and especially the written word. And so I wanted to kind of dig into this topic here about Scriptures for Writers. Why do you think it's important for Christian writers or writers who write Christian fiction or a Christian book, whichever one people want to choose for, why do you think it's important for them to know the Scriptures for themselves when they are writing their books?
Well, I know when I actually spoke to my pastor, he had known that I was writing these books with Shoshana Evers, and what I didn't know was that he knew and was kind of like talking to some of my friends to kind of get a like feeling of where I'm at and blah, blah, blah. But he was so excited when I told him like God had put this on my heart that I wanted to change genres. And one of the things that he said to me was, he's like, you're still a new, like, baby Christian. You've been doing this for a few years, but, like, you're going to want someone who can read your book before it goes out there so that they can read it and make sure it's scripturally sound, that you're not
mm-hmm.
putting in there anything that goes against Scripture. And I was like, absolutely, that's so important.
Yeah.
You know, for example, I wouldn't want a heroine of the book who calls herself a Christian to lie as one of her main character traits and think of it as no big deal. I wouldn't want something like that because we know that it goes against Scripture. But I think that the more well-versed you are in Scripture and the more you have it hidden in your heart, the more easily you'll be able to write something that you know is scripturally sound without having to be like, okay, I'm going to need, you know, the pastor's wife to read this for me before I can show it to people. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I like how you said that because you don't want to be blasphemous. I know, I remember one time, I'll never forget it, I had a story idea for a fantasy story, and there was a dark element in that story. I won't repeat what that dark element was. It was a dark element. And I wrote it down that night. I mean, writing it down that night. But then I had a very vivid, disturbing dream. And literally, toward the end of the dream, I heard a voice in the dream through someone I used to know who had passed away. Say,
mm-hmm.
there's enough evil in the world, you don't have to contribute to it. And I knew then that dark element had to be removed. And it was funny because the dream had nothing to do with the dark element I had put in that fantasy story. But when I went to bed that night, I knew the Lord was talking to me. And he used, I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, someone from the dead came back or anything like that, but he used the vision of that woman.
No, I know what you mean. You heard the Holy Spirit was speaking to you, and sometimes God speaks to us through people that we know.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I remember taking that element out. And I was
mm-hmm.
like, you know, and I knew that was a direct communication from the Lord. And so that's what words do. And you have to be so careful with your words. You don't want to be blasphemous. You can think it's a good idea. And then if you start to feel something within you kind of jostling back and forth, then maybe you need to consider what you're writing, you know. And now we're not talking about preferences. We're not talking about preferences. I'm talking about things that may be contrary to Scripture, or the Lord does not want you put in that book, you know. And those things are very important.
Right.
That's why I also think you have to have the Scriptures inside you. When we get back, we're going to be talking more of Shoshana Gabriel, and we're going to be talking about Scriptures for Writers. We're going to go ahead, take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Write Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Have you dreamed about writing a book but didn't know how to start? Or are you an established author who's looking to grow in your career? There's a brand new opportunity for writers of all genres to come together for training, fellowship, connections, and fun. Join us this summer, June 22nd, 23rd, and 24th in Southern California for the SoCal Christian Writers Conference. You can register for 1, 2, or all 3 days. Each day is packed with instruction and opportunities to progress in your writing expertise and career. This conference offers a stellar lineup of faculty along with continuing education sessions for every genre, from fiction to nonfiction, music to screenplays, and so much more. There's even a track for teens. Plan your family vacation around this conference.
Engaging the culture's imagination through speculative fiction, The Untold Podcast produces audio fiction from a Christian worldview. Find us over at untoldpodcast.com, where we partner with authors to tell science fiction, fantasy, supernatural, and horror stories. Find links at untoldpodcast.com to subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, and a variety of other platforms. Each month we produce high-quality audio fiction that's free to download and free to listen. Our submissions are open, and we're always looking to add another great story to over 24 hours of narrative entertainment. Find all of our audio fiction over at www.untoldpodcast.com.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. So glad you are here with me. We are talking about Scriptures for Writers with my wonderful guest, co-host, and contributor today, Shoshana Gabriel. Shoshana, once again, thanks for being here. The question I want to ask you is this. As we get into the Scriptures that you selected to highlight and illustrate why those Scriptures are good for writers, I wanted to first ask you, what's your favorite one? If you have a favorite one, what is your favorite Scripture for writers that you love the most?
Wow.
Or is there a favorite one?
Good question.
You know, that's what I'm saying. Which book of the Bible do I like?
There's several things that I like depending on what mood I'm in, I guess. There's Psalm 90, 17. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. So I think of my hands, I type, and the work of my hands would be what I'm writing for God's glory. And I want God's favor. I want him to help me and for what I write to be pleasing to him. So
I like
that one.
I like that, too. I think that's a good one. Go ahead.
There's so many. Okay, there's in Proverbs 14:23. In all toil there is profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty. So I think of that as there's only so much time that you can spend thinking about your book, talking about your book. At some point you're going to have to sit down, put your hands on the keyboard, and write it. So if you toil, if you do the actual writing, which is, for me, that's the hardest part, is actually getting it done. I have a million ideas. There's not enough time in the world to write them all. It's all about, you know, getting it actually done. So the profit, it doesn't necessarily need to mean, you know, money profit. It can mean, you know, you're finally doing what you wanted to be doing, and you're getting that book out there. Maybe other people will read it. Maybe it will touch their heart. But if you're just talking about writing a book someday, you're going to have that poverty, whether that's physical poverty, being poor because you're not making any money if you're not writing the book, but also the poverty of spirit. It's been kind of
like
hard for me, even taking this year off, even though I know I have had very good reason. My babies are 9 months old right now, boy and a girl, and but even though I know, like, okay, it makes sense for me to take some time off when they're this young, It's been very difficult for me to not write, just because that's, I've been writing nonstop since I started doing it professionally in 2009. And even before that, you know, I was writing for 10 years before that. So I've never taken a year off before. So I kind of felt a little bit of that poverty of spirit where I was just kind of like, I would think about writing and then I'd go, no, you know what? This is good too. I'm rocking my babies. Like this is, you know, there's a time for everything, for every season, right?
Mm-hmm. Every season, so, time, purpose under heaven. Yep, that's definitely.
Yeah.
And I like that. And I know it's mostly difficult for you to have taken a year off, especially having been very successful and then going from successful in the world and through the world's measures to trusting the Lord that he's going to take care of you. I think that would be something that will also be something to consider when you do things like that. I know I'm just going to share one of my favorite verses. And one of my favorite verses of all time, ever since I was a kid, was Matthew 28:19-20, where he says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." And that's always been one of my favorite verses as a writer, because sometimes as writers, we feel alone. And sometimes you feel like no one gets it. That's why I love the community of indie authors. I love the community of indie authors, even some of the traditional published authors. I love that community spirit that's there. And then when I began to take my writing very seriously back in 2010, when I would take it very seriously, I started to realize that when he says teach all nations, that we may not have the money to go on a mission. We may not have the means to go out and do certain things. But with our words, you can teach all nations, because our books are available all over the world now. And so with venues like Amazon and Barnes & Noble and other things, they're available all over the world. And we can take that book, and you never know who's going to read it, who's going to be blessed by your book. I remember when I was reached, and you probably could have the same experience as people from all over the world contact you and say, oh, my gosh, I loved your book. And how much more when you use your words to teach? How much more when you use a word to teach and bring about the good news of Christ, you know? And so
Absolutely. That's
always one of my favorite verse. So I want to kind of go into some of these scriptures that you pointed out here. So let's just go whichever scripture you want to start with first and tell us the scripture. Go ahead and let us know and then give your commentary on it.
There is this one from Exodus 17:14, and it's one of the first ones I looked at because I actually was searching for scripture specifically about writing or something being written. And the context is there was an army, the Amalekites, when they came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim, and Moses ordered Joshua to lead the Israelite men to fight them. So that's the context.
Mm-hmm.
And Moses had said to him, I'm going to hold the staff of God in my hands. And whatever everyone else is fighting, Moses is on the hill raising the staff of God. And whenever he raised it, the Israelites were winning. Whenever his arms dropped from weariness, that's when the other side would win. With God's help, he was able to prop his arms up. The Israelites won. And then, this is Exodus 17:14, then the Lord said to Moses, write this on a scroll as something to be remembered. And it continues, make sure Joshua hears about it. So I like this because, it's like something important happened, a miracle of God happened. The Lord said to Moses, he didn't say like, oh, isn't this great? Like, we won. He just says, you need to write that down. This happened. It was important. Write it down and make sure that people hear about it. And so to me, that kind of just inspired me that when God works in my life like this, and he does all the time, I need to take note of it and tell people about it and testify, basically.
I like that, Shoshana, especially he says, write this on the scroll as something to be remembered. And we go back to what we talked about earlier in the broadcast, how I think it was David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. So we write these things so we don't forget what God has done for us. That's why we have the Bible, so we don't forget what God has done for the patriarchs of the Bible and those that we admire. And so we won't forget that if he can help those back in 2,000, 3,000 years ago, guess what? He can help us out too. And I love that. Let's go to the next scripture you have in mind for us.
Colossians 3:24, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. So I like that because when you're working, and it doesn't have to be just writing, you could be a bus driver, you could be a teacher, you could be a janitor. It really doesn't matter what you're doing. You're not really working for your boss or your publisher. You're working for God. I like how it's just a reminder that anything you're doing, whether you're in word, whether you're writing or talking, or indeed something you're doing, do it all for God. I'm skipping back to 3:17, which is another one that kind of connects in Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So that kind of connects to 24, which is a little bit further down. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. It connects, you know, whatever you're doing, we're doing it for God and we're thanking God for it. And I like that.
I do too. I remember my mother many years ago, she would tell me, she said, Jesus is the best paymaster. She would say that all the time. She said, man will fire you. They'll let you down. They'll let you go. She said, but Jesus is the best paymaster. So she said, work for him.
Mm-hmm.
When you work for the Lord, then you don't worry about what people can do to you. And especially as writers, especially Christian writers, when you see other writers in different genres seem to succeed, and you're looking like, well, I'm writing for the Lord, and how come I can't succeed like that? And I remember having that thought, and I know you probably have some insight into this too, Shoshana. So once I finish, share my message, I wanted you to expand on it. I never forget when a woman emailed me in my first book, my first romance, Many Strange Women, had come out, and she said, the Lord used your book to talk to me about how the Lord makes me beautiful, not man. I'm not beautiful because of what man makes me beautiful. I'm beautiful because the Lord makes me beautiful. And in that book, I had dealt with my own self-hatred. I used to have it myself. I used to hate myself a lot. And I covered it up, but I used to hate myself a lot. And so that book was like reflecting that self-hatred I had of myself and I put in my character and the things that I had come to realize. And so I want you to expand on that about how when you work for the Lord, when you put all your efforts for the Lord, not for man, how much more blessed you are.
Well, first, praise God that he helped you resolve that and reminded you how you're a precious daughter of God, a daughter of the King. God's light really does give us beauty, and I really feel that other people can see that. I've always I actually got a review, or was it a review? Or was it a comment? Somebody was writing something on a blog. Somebody had written a blog post about what was going on with my shift of genres. And the person said something like, well, you know, I've met Shoshana a lot at these book signings, you know, blah, blah, blah. And she said, she's certainly nice enough to be a Christian author. And I thought, well, that's cool that the way a person who is not Christian is viewing the Christian community. When they think Christian author, they're thinking super nice and kind, you know, when they view like the Christian authors. And I think that really says something about God and how when we try to be more like Christ, that people can see it. Even if they don't know, they can't put their finger on it, they can see that the Christian authors have something that's not... it's not usual. It's not common. So I thought that was pretty cool.
And I agree with you there too, especially with that. And I wonder how the Lord's using your journey for somebody else. That's what I'm wondering. You know, how will someone else benefit from Shoshana boldly leaving a profitable area into trusting him? That's what I totally think it is. And so I want you to give us some more scriptures to share with us for writers.
Okay, although you know what's funny is there's a book coming out at the end of this year from Revel, and it's a Christian book by a new debut author, and it's actually about I don't know this author, so I have no idea if she was, you know, if she like kind of got a plot bunny from my story, or if this is just something she was thinking on her own. But it is it's a story about a secular steamy romance author who decides to write inspirational. It's like how she's coming to terms with, you know, being a Christian and writing what she's writing, and how she has to, like, you know, stop writing the books that her fans are expecting and all
wow.
this kind of thing. And somebody had forwarded me the blurb, and I was just like, how cool would it be if somebody that I don't know reads that book, it brings them closer to God, or it speaks to them. And that's not even my work. That's just like the basics of what's happening in my life in a fictional novel by another author. But you know, God uses all sorts of ways and webs of how things are interconnected to draw the people to him that he wants to him. So I just thought that was kind of cool, because it's not my story, you know, it's
right.
God. It's God's story.
Amen.
He's making it happen to me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's not like I have, you know, a hold on that, like, no, that's my story. Don't write about it. I'm never going to say that. So I thought that was pretty cool. But yeah, I have a whole list of scriptures here. Psalms 127:1, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. I liken that to, unless God is working to get this book or this story out with me, there's no point in me even writing it unless I've got him on board. You know, unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Yeah, because you could be a watchman staying awake, hoping that nothing's going to happen. But if God's not watching over for you, essentially, anything could happen. And just being awake to see it isn't going to be enough. Yeah, you can be awake to see that an army of people are coming towards you, but
right.
it's not going to help much, you know? So I like that one.
What I like too is that, you know, I can just add a couple points here too, is that, you know, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. And so it kind of lets us know what we can do in our own power, which isn't much, and what the Lord can do with his infinite power, and how we derive our strength, we derive our being, everything from him. And so when he allows to do this, like having the ability to write, we get it from the Lord. You know, he's the author. That's one of my other favorite verses, the author and finisher of my faith. I love that. Every time I even say it in my head or in my mind or see it, I just choke up, because being an author, it takes a whole new realm for me. And I know for those of you who are into hermeneutics, you're probably thinking, no, he means that he's the starter of our faith. And I say, I know. But when I put it as an author, how we do and how we write and bring these stories and ideas to life, it just really resonates with me that he brought us to life. And so I really like that. And this shows how everything we have comes from the Lord. Everything we are and we become is sustained by the Lord. And I really like that. So what's another verse to share with us?
Well, I really like that too, what you just said about God being how is the author and finisher of our faith. You know, I've always felt, because I've always believed in God. I always knew God existed. I didn't know Jesus. And I wasn't necessarily living the way that somebody who knows Jesus lives, or you know, God wants us to live. But I always felt that God had given me the gift of storytelling. But then I got to the point where I just felt like I wasn't using it the way he intended for me to use it, that gift. So let's see, Matthew 5:16. This is a good one. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And I think it's kind of like what we were talking about before, with readers seeing all sorts of different authors at RT, the Romantic Times Conference. But when they see the Christian authors saying, you know, these are good people, we can tell they're good, we can tell that they're kind, right? And that reflects not so much on the people, but more on God, what God's doing.
Yeah.
So if when we let our light shine, people can see the good works and give the glory to God.
What we're going to do, we're going to go ahead and take a quick short break, and when we come back, we'll be having more scriptures for writers that Shoshana is going to share with us, and I hope that as you listen to these scriptures, maybe some scriptures of your own come to mind. So what I would suggest is that you take a piece of paper or a notebook or construction paper even, a side of your wall, it doesn't matter. You take these scriptures and you put them somewhere where you can view them and look at them, and then put them inside of your heart so you can remember what God has done for you through his word. We're going to go ahead, take a quick short break. We'll be right back.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Question: if you write a book, everybody will rush out to buy it. Obvious answer: no. If you were a celebrity or if you had a huge marketing budget, then maybe you can get a lot of exposure for your book. Another solution would be to check out JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com is a promotion and marketing service with access to over 1/3 of a million followers on Twitter. JoeyTweets.com has 3 packages available to fit any budget. That's JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com. Get some serious exposure for your book.
Hi, is your book club in need of some fresh and exciting questions to ask club members and authors at your next book club meeting? Literizations, the book conversation game, is 70 thought-provoking questions to really get into an in-depth discussion about the books you and your club members are reading. These questions really get into the characters, the storyline, and into the author's head. These questions may just give you and your book club members a whole new way to get into a new conversation, a literization. Literizations is also a great set of tools for bloggers, interviewers, and authors to use a discussion question. Are you ready to get lit? Please visit our website at litversations.com, LITERSATION.com. And please like our Facebook page at Simply Said Reading Accessories.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to Write Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. I'm your host, Parker J, the queen of Tuesday nights. And let me tell you, I have been just enjoying my conversation with Shoshana Gabriel. She is an author. She'll be having her first inspirational romance coming out this summer. So stay tuned for that. If you want to find out more about Shoshana, visit her website at ShoshanaGabriel.com. You can also visit her website to see how she left the secular erotic genre to go and become an inspirational Christian author. And her testimony, her story is on her website, so go to ShoshanaGabriel.com. You know, Shoshana, as we continue our discussion about these scriptures for authors, what really resonates with me is just how new and how refreshing these scriptures are, how you've read them a lot, but then when you put them in this context, they just resonate even more, and how God's word doesn't get old and dull. It's always new, always multifaceted. It shines like a diamond. It never gets old and anything like that. And so that's what I really like about these scriptures. I know our listeners listening in to this conversation know that these scriptures, they're like water, living water that's poured down our throat to a parched soul that needs it. And so I want you to continue to share the scriptures that help writers, that help you and help other writers too.
Okay, 1 Corinthians 15:58. So then, dear brothers and sisters, be firm, do not be moved. Always be outstanding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That really hits home with me, especially because sometimes when you're thinking, well, what if I put this book out there? You know, nobody really knows the name, Shoshana Gabriel. They know me as Shoshana Evers. So it's almost like I'm starting over again as a brand new author. And I think, well, what, you know, there's a very good possibility I put my book out and just nobody buys it and it just sits there, and that could happen. And I'm sure that I'm going to end up getting tempted at some point to just be like, you know, I could probably just write another book as Shoshana Evers and go back to how I was. And I like this because it says, you know, stay firm, you know, don't be moved by that, and just be outstanding in the work of the Lord. And that's it's a good motivator for me. And to know that God promises that the work we do for him is not in vain. Whether or not we see something in this life, like it says, build up your treasures in heaven, not here on earth where it can be destroyed or eaten away by rats, but build up the treasure in heaven. That's a totally different
I like that
verse,
too.
Actually. But, yeah.
And I have to use my own experience. I remember my very first book came out. Time another, you know, a lot of books are coming out, of course, but there's one particular book. For some reason, people thought my book was erotica. I have no idea how they thought that. I never promoted it as that, but what they thought was multicultural erotica. And so my book was shown in the Amazon section as people who also bought this. And you'll see my book, it is a bunch of erotica books, you know. And thankfully, some people actually enjoyed it, and some people were very disappointed. You know, what happened. But at the same time, there was a book out there, and I remember seeing it because it kept showing up. And I think that author, probably within 2 weeks, hundreds of reviews, you know. And you could see her ranking on Amazon go up. You knew the sales were coming in. And then I think a month later, I happened to check it because I didn't know a lot like I know now. I kept checking, and I see like 200 show up. And then I would see 300 show up, then 600. Now it's like 1,000 or something. And I remember thinking to myself, you know what, why don't I just reviews and people buying her book. People are like, oh my gosh, I just love this book, whatever. And I remember like, you know, why don't I just create a pen name and just start writing erotica so I can get money. I remember thinking that and having that thought, you know. And then that's when I told you earlier in the broadcast that woman emailed me and said, the Lord used your book to speak to me. And that's when I said,
it was that this woman? Oh, it was the different woman that she emailed you.
Yeah, it was a different woman. It wasn't her. I don't know who that woman is. But it's the fact that when I was at a weak point where you kind of think, well, I'll just do what everyone else is doing. I can make a ton of money doing this. That's when that woman contacted me. Not the author, but another lady who read my book. And that's when I said, this is for the Lord. Yeah, a reader. And that's what I said, this is for the Lord. And so I totally understand that. And I know some Christian authors struggle with, they want to make money in that. And they're like, you know, I'm writing for the Lord. How come I can't get the kind of money like, for example, Beverly Lewis, Karen Kingsbury, Tracy Peterson, some people like that who are well-known names. And I've read their books, and I enjoy their books too. And some people, how come I can't be that way? But like you said, don't be moved. Always be outstanding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. And I think that's the major part that we have to focus on, that is not in vain. Whatever we do for the Lord is not in vain. So go ahead and share some more with us.
Right. And, you know, it could have been, you know, that book that you wrote and that person that you reached, that could have been the Lord's plan all along, is to have you write, you know, be an author and write this book just so you could influence this one person who then, because of her newfound faith, does something different than she, you know, or does something that ends up, who knows, like, the ripple effect down the line, like, you know, it could save a life, it could save a country, you know, she could have a child that becomes president, you know, who's a Christian, like, and we have no idea even how what we do fits into God's plan, because he sees it all from that 30,000-foot view. He sees everything, what's in front of us, what's behind us, and all the little steps. You know, when you think about just for you to be here, Parker, you know, for God to have had your mother's life the way hers was and your father's life the way his was so that they could meet and have you, and then your life to get to the point where you wrote this book, and then for this woman, her life, her whole life, her parents, her grandparents, everything that made it happen so that she ended up buying your book and reading it. And we have no idea how God does it all. You know, it's like God just holds all the threads, and he just weaves them all together, and we have no idea what the final tapestry looks like, but he does.
Amen.
And it's kind of nice when you just, you know, thinking of it like that, that he knows that whenever we work for him, that it's not in vain, even if we don't see it, even if, you know, if we're not making money. Some Christian authors said to me, you know, we get some Christian authors that leave writing inspirational to write secular fiction. But we don't really ever have people writing secular that come to Christian fiction. You know, because there's less money in it, it's a little, you know, it's kind of harder to the readership, the target readership is smaller, that sort of thing. I think that obviously it's like if we're going to be doing this, it can't be for the money. It has to be for be part of God's plan.
Amen. I like that, Shoshana. I like that a lot because I think that sometimes too. You know, every once in a while you go, where am I in the plan? When we read the Bible and we see mm-hmm. where everyone fits in God's plan, we can see it because we're reading from it from hindsight. We're reading from hindsight. Like, did David know that he would be a major patriarch of the Bible when he was 16 years old, taking care of his father's sheep? Did he know that?
Right.
Did he know that one day he would be king and that one day he'd make a lot of mistakes? And that the Lord would still call him a man after his own heart. Did he know that? More than likely not. But did he know that thousands of years later we'd be reading his psalms and being blessed by them? Did he know that? No. And then you kind of go like, where do I fit in God's plan? And God sees it, and that's why we have to trust him. And that's why I really like the fact that you chose that verse for writers, because we're being saturated by so many ideas, good, bad, indifferent, wild, crazy. We're being so saturated by ideas, you kind of wonder, where will my voice or my book be heard? And then that's when, for me, it became real for me, when at the weakest point, when I first started off, that I did get that email, and the Lord helped me say, you know, this is for you, Lord Jesus. Whatever you want to do with this is fine. And that's when my faith was strengthened in that. Because it lets me know that my labor is mm-hmm. not a thing. If just one person is helped, one person, it doesn't have to be thousands, but just one person's help, who knows what that the power of that one person will do for many others. You never know.
Right.
I don't know if you ever heard the story of Billy Graham. Was it Billy Graham? It was Billy Graham many years ago. He had did a conference or a ministry or something, and only one person came to Christ. At that thing, he said, well, it wasn't really successful. It was only one person came. And apparently the person who came, and I got to get the story straight. I'm just going by what I heard. But apparently the person who came was the guy who created Focus on the Family. And so from one person affected by one person, that one person has a huge platform. That's what I was told.
Right.
Like I said, I don't know if it's that direct line of events, but just that one person. You know, and you say, oh, it wasn't successful. Only one person came out of all these hundreds of people, and that one person created Focus on a Family. And so when that happens, we have to remember that it's not in vain. And we got about 10 minutes left before we have to close our show. I want you to do a couple more scriptures that we can take with us.
Speaking of David, Psalm 126, 4 to 6, restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those whose tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them.
Mm.
And I see that as all of the hard work and the blood, sweat, and tears that goes into doing what we do or doing another job, such as being a mother, when we're done with it, we're going to be reaping what we sow, for good or for bad. So, you know, raise our child up in the Lord, and then they become a happy, well-adjusted, God willing, you know, young man, and they go off and they find themselves a wife, and they get married, and now you have grandchildren, and this is your song of joy that, you know, life is continuing on, right? But there's plenty of times when you're raising that child that maybe you are going out weeping, sowing with tears, right? But we reap the songs of joy. So I like that because I feel that it does apply when, you know, writing a book isn't easy, but it is really wonderful when you get emails like that, when you have someone tell you that your book affected them positively. So I think that's a one I like, and that's King David as well.
Amen. I like that too, especially how you expanded on it. I was thinking about how every weekend I pick up my grandmother, and she stays with me. She just, you know, stays in the house, does some little work around the house, watch TV, falls asleep. You know, she's 86.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she doesn't really have to do much at all. And so, I remember I went to go pick her up, and there was a woman waiting to get something. I don't know if she was waiting for food or whatever. There's an old woman there, and I will never forget the look of jealousy. That's the only way I could describe it, Shoshana. It was a look of jealousy that she had. as I went and picked up my grandmother, because I pick her up every weekend. Or if I don't pick her up, my uncle picks her up. Somebody picks her up and takes her.
Right.
And I found out later, I had the opportunity to actually talk to the woman, and she said, no one ever comes see me. No one ever comes visit me. My daughter won't talk to me. I don't know what happened in the past or whatever, you know. But just that look of jealousy on her face to see this happening to her. And like you said, it reaps joy that in your old age you're being taken care of by people who love you. You know, and I already know, the Lord knows he has to keep my grandmother around for a while, because I will be on the floor wailing if something happened to her, you know. And during those hard times, to have that joy of just love. It doesn't have to be money even, just love, just having that family infrastructure, that even though you're old, you're not alone, and so many elderly are, you know. And that's just one example from this verse that we can use to apply to our lives. I know we're talking about scriptures for writers, but all these scriptures applies to so many different areas of our lives. We got time.
And a lot of writers have families, and you know, a lot of writers like me have young children and are trying to balance it all. And that's why I just love the Bible so much, because whenever I open it, something that I've seen a million times before hits me in a fresh way, like you were talking about. Like it's living water. It's always changing, and it not changing the words, but what we get out of it is changing. So that's one that I had picked up along the way that worked for me really well as a working mother.
With twins. Let's not forget the
twins. Twins. Yeah, exactly.
I'm a twin myself, so I can just imagine. Yeah, I'm a twin.
Oh,
my twin sister's a writer too. She writes fantasy. Her name's Lynette. She's a writer too. And totally understand.
Are you identical or fraternal?
Oh, we're fraternal twins. We're totally fraternal twins. But she's my darling, and she's my biggest cheerleader, and she's my huge support. And I am the engine behind her. I'm the engine that makes her run, if you want to describe us. I drag her from the pits of, I can't ever do this, to, you are going to do it, and I'm going to drag you over this cliff, and you're going to make sure you do it. So she supports me. We have different temperaments and everything. And she's my biggest cheerleader. She believes in me. And, of course, I believe in her. But with her, I have to drag her from. She'll go, I can't do this. And I'm like, yes, you can. I'll have to drag her out. And so we got time for about one more scripture before we have to end our show, Shoshana. So go ahead and share one more scripture with us.
Ecclesiastes 2:24. There's nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. I like that, because obviously we need to eat and drink and, you know, have shelter, the basics. But when we find enjoyment in our work, that's just such a blessing. It's such a blessing to be able to have this is my full-time job, working at doing selfpubbookcovers.com as the co-founder of that, and having doing the writing. This is has been my full-time job since 2011. I just praise God about it all the time, because thank God that I get to do this. I get to do it from home so that I can stay home with my children. And for anyone that's able to enjoy their work, it's such a blessing, and it absolutely is from the hand of God. Thank you, God, for that.
Amen. I can say I'm not at that point yet where I can do this full-time. But I enjoy the fact that it is that one day I will, and that I look forward to it. But if I can't do it full time, if I have to keep working like I am and do this, I enjoy what I do. You know, I enjoy what I do at my 9-to-5, but I also enjoy what I do here, because it's just as hard to work and create and to put that out there, because it's also a business too. I know as we're both authors, you understand it's a business as well. And so being a business person, but I'm in a business that I enjoy. I'm the creative entrepreneur or authorpreneur, as they say, and having that enjoyment, and that's why I said the Lord loves the written word, that he wrote his word, he loves the written word, and to see that being reflected in us, it just makes me feel so humble that he chose me. I could have had any other talent he gave me, but this is the one he gave me, and I'm blessed by that, because he loves the written word, just like he loves artists who paint, and those who write songs, and those who do other things, and he loves them all, and this is the one he gave me. He said, this one is best suited for my daughter here. And that just resonates with me, and I enjoy what I do, and I do. Now, sometimes you'll have those unenjoyable days as authors. We get those unenjoyable days. Sometimes some people don't believe in writer's block. Some people do. Depends on who you're talking to.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of us who do get writer's block.
As we sow, right?
Yes.
That's the toil part. We're sowing, right? The toiling.
Yeah, that's the toil. When you can't think of anything and you're staring at that blank page, you're like, think, come up with something. Mm-hmm. Or
you're writing and then you read it and it's terrible.
Yeah.
And it's not
that's
fit
what
for
say.
It.
That's what just I say that. Like, it's not fit for anybody. You throw it out and
mm-hmm.
or you edit or you self-edit and you just edit, like, 20 pages out of your book. Like, I'm not putting that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the toil part. So the enjoyment mm-hmm. is when we finish that project. What we're going to do is take a quick short break, and when we come back, we're going to have final thoughts with Shoshana Gabriel. We'll be right back after these messages.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guests on the Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Let's get cooking. Yeti Cooks is a place where you will find recipe ideas, tutorials, and tips, clean eating, classic favorites, meal plans, nutrition information, and a lot more. You can find instructional videos or download recipes found on YetiCooks.com. Follow my cooking chronicles on Instagram and Twitter. Get quarterly newsletters, latest updates on trending food culture at YetiCooks.com. Let's get cooking.
And we are back, and you are listening to The Right Stuff on WPJC 104.5. Make sure you keep it here for the best radio station in the land, the PJC Media. Make sure you join us on Sundays for Dovetails with the Boars. If you're all about testimonials and what the Holy Spirit has done in other people's lives, plus random acts of kindness, you definitely want to tune in to Dovetails at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And then any talk about relationships, make sure you kick it with the coaches Eric and Fran Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. They talk about all sorts of marriages. It may be called the Marriage Playbook, but they talk to singles, they talk to divorced, they talk to married couples going through, if you're engaged, if you're dating, all about relationships on the Marriage Playbook, and that's at 7 p.m. Eastern Time right here on WPJC. And then join me Tuesdays where I showcase Christian authors worldwide, all over the world. So wherever you are, if you want to be on the show, all you got to do is let me know, and I love to have you on the show. And then let's talk about it. Talk about everything. Talk about autism. Talk about police brutality. Talk about how to survive an attack. Talk about all kinds of Jenny White, and that's Let's Talk About It with her at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time on Fridays. And then join me again on Saturdays where I talk about the church at 6 p.m. Eastern Time right here. So we have a great lineup of shows for you on PJC Media Network. Make sure you stick it with us here. And we are back with Shoshana Gabriel. And Shoshana has been just sharing so many wonderful verses for writers. And as she was sharing those verses, I just felt so renewed and so helped as she shared those verses with us. And I hope you've been helped too. And Shoshana, again, thank you for being with us. As we get ready to close our show, I want you to tell us your final thoughts about this topic.
Well, thank you so much for having me. And I guess my final thought would be that I'm grateful that there are authors who write inspirational books, and I'm really excited that I get to be one of you now. And I hope that if you want to stay in touch with me, you can subscribe to my newsletter at Shoshana, that's Shoshana with two N's, Gabriel, like the boy's name, .com. And thank you so much, Parker.
And thank you so much, Shoshana, for being with us on the show today. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we were talking today to Shoshana Gabriel. She is going to have her first inspirational romance novel published this summer. So make sure you stay up to date with her by joining her newsletter. And you can get more information about Shoshana by going to her website, ShoshanaGabriel.com. Again, that's ShoshanaGabriel.com. Sign up for her newsletter so you can get date information about what's going on with her, where her book will be out, and so much more. You can read about her testimony and why she left the secular world to join in the inspirational writing publishing industry. And let me tell you, it's not because she was just trying something new. The Lord led her there. So definitely go to her website, ShoshanaGabriel.com. And if you are an author and you need covers for your books, especially indie authors, go to selfpubcovers.com. Again, selfpubcovers.com. That's also co-run by Shoshana Gabriel. If you need covers for your books, they have all different types from all different genres. Go ahead and go get that book cover today. Thank you so much for joining me for this edition of The Right Stuff. I am the queen of Tuesday nights, Parker J, and you have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of The Right Stuff. Follow Parker online at parkerjcole.com. To hear this show and other shows, visit the show archive at therightstuffradio.wordpress.com. We'll be back same time next week, 7 p.m. Eastern Time.